Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
All right, guys. So Adrian Wojnarowski just tweeted a minute ago, about 18 minutes ago to be specific, that the NBA is inviting 22 teams to Orlando, 13 Western Conference, 9 Eastern Conference teams, 8 regular season games per team, a play-in for the 8th seed. That's July 31st through October 12th. The vote is tomorrow to ratify, and that the NBA is back. There is an additional tweet from Woj that says, joining the 16 current playoff teams in Orlando, New Orleans, Portland, Phoenix, Sacramento, and San Antonio in the West, Washington in the East. This is interesting here. If the 9th seed is more than 4 games behind the 8th, the number 8 team makes the playoffs. Fewer than 4 games, there's a play-in tournament. So even if the gap between the 8th and the 9th seeds is fewer than 4 games, but you haven't worked your way into that 8th spot, there is going to be a little mini tournament at the back end to determine who gets to play in the Western Conference, at least as it stands right now, the Lakers.
It's fantastic news, man. I'm about to buy me a new onesie. I'm so excited.
It's good to hear. All right, as promised, we are joined right now by NBA World Champion Meta World Peace joining us here on the morning show on the Sprint People's Hotline. Meta, it's good to talk to you. Thanks for coming on.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for having me. How you doing?
We're good, man. Just sitting up watching everything across the country, you know, with the big protests, you being from New York and seeing what's going on the East Coast of New York. What do you make of the protest and how it's being handled in your city?
Well, you know, we have a lot of great leaders over the last couple of years. You know, Martin Luther King being one of the biggest leaders. Then you had Malcolm X, who was more of a controversial leader because he's more from where we're from. You know, he grew up, committed crimes and different things like that and changed his life. Then you have, like, Farrakhan, who's more of a he's the number one black leader right now. I know we have a lot of great guys coming up, like Sean King, Steven Jackson is emerging, which an unfortunate situation. So, you know, more than the protests, I look at the leaders that we have. We also have guys like Al Sharpton, who's a controversial figure, you know, not only in the, you know, white community, but also in the black community, but nobody's perfect. You know, so you just try to, you know, see what the leaders are doing. You have a lot of young leaders, too, like Brother Umar Johnson, Brother Polite. Some of these guys are extremists. You know, some of these guys are not. Everybody have their different views. But, you know, what's really good is that we have some leaders out there. Then you got the celebrity leaders, because a lot of the people that's paying attention to the protest, they're only looking at the celebrities. But we have real, real leaders in our communities that I've been looking up to since I was a kid, because I grew up in New York City. I've seen police kill people in my neighborhood, Richie Luke, back in the 1990. You know, we marched down the block. And so I've seen this stuff. So I've always been wary. I don't think all cops is bad, but at the same time, I'm from the streets. So, you know, we never really, we didn't know what cop we was going to get that day. You understand? So, you know, I always kept that street mentality. I never forgot where I was from. And I'm not surprised by what's happening. I'm really surprised that people are surprised. You know, I'm not shocked. You know, we've seen this happen before. You know, so it's just important that we look at the leaders and watch out for the instigators. A lot of instigators out there just, like, rubbing it in, trying to egg people on, trying to get people to participate in, you know, burning down businesses and different things like that. That's not something that we're about. You know, we do want justice, but we're not trying to burn down businesses, you know, so that has nothing, you know, maybe with the exception of a few that's taken advantage, but, you know, we got to watch out for the instigators. Other than that, you know, we got to keep pushing forward.
Those very, very wise words there. Adrian Wojnarowski has just released information about the NBA coming back starting July 31st. Meta, how long will it take players, do you think, to get up to speed so that by July 31st, they'll be ready to rock and roll? Is it going to take them 2 weeks? Is it going to take them starting today all the way until the 31st? How long is it going to take them to be ready to go?
Well, I think, it's going to – I think it said 58 days until the league. I think I read that just now. So I believe they'll be fine. they'll be fine. If you gave them, you know, a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, that would have been bad. But this is just going to be just like we're going to pick up where we left off.
How weird will it be seeing games played in a centralized location without fans? I mean, as a player, Mehta, what can you imagine what that would be like playing in an empty building where there isn't the emotion of the crowd, but positively or negatively, you're just kind of playing in a vacuum?
It's amazing. It's going to be the most amazing experience we ever experienced in our life in basketball. I'm so excited. And obviously, this is a... this is a byproduct of the COVID, not the protests and not the George Floyd, Mr. Floyd killing. But I think with COVID happening, which is an unfortunate situation because a lot of deaths, so RIP to all the families that lost people. But with COVID happening, it gave the NBA an opportunity to really experiment. You know, so now you're talking about different rules. We need something different right now. And sports brings that to us. And I'm a former player, but now I'm a fan. So I'm looking forward to the fix. I need the fix ASAP. And I think, like, it's just going to be the most amazing thing ever. You know, especially with technology out there, you can do so many great things. You don't need fans right now. You know, let's just get the games back. So this is great.
Mehta World Peace joining us here on the morning show. Do you like the format that's being put into place as of right now, being reported that the potential format that's taking place in Orlando?
Well, I don't really know the format. I don't know what they're saying. But if it's any time to experiment, it's now.
Mehta, what they're saying is that they're going to bring 13 Western Conference teams. They're going to bring 9 Eastern Conference teams. And if anybody is within 4 games of that final playoff spot, there's going to be a small mini play-in tournament to determine who's going to be that 8th seed.
I love it, man. It's just so exciting. I need a smile, right? We all need a smile. This is great. I hope they push the needle. You know, and I think if the players and the teams are, like, not happy because it's not fair, I think that's what's going to make it entertaining. You know, all the stuff to push the needle and let's get back talking about sports again. You know, I think it's super important for them to do creative things like that in this point in time.
How do you think this helps or doesn't help the Lakers' quest to win a championship, the layoff and the way that they're going to potentially, run things out of Orlando with no home court, real home court advantage?
Well, you know, I think it really puts LeBron in a position to win because LeBron has spurts. Now, LeBron is getting older, so we see over the years it's harder for him to run for a long period of time. Now, if you put him in a situation where he just got to go hard for a shorter period of time, this is a big advantage. He's just body coming at you, you know. So this actually puts the Lakers back in the situation they were in before COVID.
Mehta World Peace joining us here on the morning show on the Sprint People's Hotline. Mehta, I know that you've been outspoken about issues that are near and dear to your heart, mental health and whatnot. What do you think the role of athletes is for the situation that we find ourselves now, protests? Many, many athletes, teams, leagues have spoken out. But individually, what would you like to see from some of the players involved, the athletes involved? What do you think they can do to implement change?
Well, you know, I mean, I think you guys got to be proactive, man. When I came in at 19 years old, I'm from the streets, and I never shied away from that. And when you're from New York City streets, you get a certain type of education. You know, it's that education that has to do with the history of slaves and the history of, you know, the civil rights movement and all that stuff, and we're very aware. You understand? So with that being said, you know, when I was 19, I came into the league, our first rookie meeting with all the rookies. And I was there, and the first question I asked was, what are we doing for the hood? That's right when they was launching NBA Cares. You know, and that's proactive. You know, and then sometimes you try to keep the street and you tell people, don't change, you know, keep it real where you're from, and these people don't listen. Even people of your own skin color until something right now. You know, we always try to tell you to keep it real. Something's going to bring you back down to earth. So it's very important that you start on earth, stay on earth, and you got to, you know, stay with your people now at the same time. I'm not saying be, isolated, you know, and don't have inclusion because, as you can see, if you look at my company page, I'm so diverse. But at the same time, it's people that don't like to see diversity. It's people that don't like to see happiness. the more we are happy, the more we'll be in situations like this. I mean, look at ESPN, very diverse group of commentators and journalists, right? So obviously something's moving in the right direction, but people don't like to see happiness, right? So it's very important that we stay happy. We fight during this time, but don't forget that we are in a happy place. This is way different from the 1960s. You know, we have more ethnicities that are working with each other, you know, dating each other, working with, you know, collaborating, you know, and different things like that. And they want you to make it, they want to make it look like that's not the case. And then you put one big thing on the media and then it looks like we're divided. So don't be fooled. You know, we're not as divided as it seems. And then also don't be fooled. You got to continue to fight, you know, for what's right.
Meta World Peace joining us here on The Morning Show. Meta, appreciate you coming on this morning. Thanks a bunch for your time.
Thanks a lot, boss.
Absolutely.
Thank you, sir.
No doubt, baby.
Yeah, I mean, he has been somebody that's been outspoken, you know, when he, after they won the championship, what was it, back in 2010, I guess it was, and he was advocating for mental health. And it does make a difference. It does make a difference when somebody that has that platform says something. We listen to it. Maybe if it's a politician or police officer, whatever, that's so on, at least I'll just speak for myself here. It's kind of a tune out because you know that they're just going to try to placate the people that they're talking to, that they're going to try to say what people want to hear. When it's somebody different from somewhere else that's speaking from the heart, I think it resonates even more.
Well, it does. And especially when you've been there, you've done it, you lived it. You know, like you said, in the streets of New York, he's been there. He lived it. It's like me being in L.A. I understand it. I lived it. I've been in the grind. I've been there. It gets the attention. Unlike someone who's trying to manufacture it that has never really seen it, been up close about it. And I think that that is the great part about guys like that who have a platform, who could use it, because people are going to listen. They're really going to pay attention and they listen to it because you know what you're talking about in that particular environment, in that particular setting.
And, of course, the good news of the day, and we could use good news for sure, the NBA is headed back. That, according to Woj, 22 teams are going to come to Orlando, 13 Western Conference teams, 9 Eastern Conference teams. There is a chance that there will be a play-in for the 8th seed. They're going to vote to ratify it tomorrow for a July 31st start date and a potential Game 7 in the NBA Finals that would end as late as October 12th. But we have dates, we have a format, and this is as concrete of a plan as we've seen from any major sports league in this country.
Well, it's important to note that Major League Soccer actually was first. Their announcement came out first in this country, and they got a plan together in Orlando. But here in Los Angeles, with no disrespect meant for neither the Galaxy nor LAFC, because of how good the Lakers were, because of the point that we were in this season, because of the rivalry with the Clippers, because of LeBron James and Anthony Davis, we're probably more excited that the NBA has made its announcement. But soccer was first, and it was good to just get that ball rolling and letting the other leagues know that it's time to get open again for business.
No, yeah, and soccer was first, and that's true, but it just feels like the NBA because it's the NBA, and it's the number two sport in America. So that's why I think that's why it's so much more excitement.
Let's talk about it. My apologies to the MLS for not having that right. But let's come back and talk about what it means for the Lakers specifically. We've got about 2 months until the season kicks off. And, Key, you can kind of give us an idea how much time you think they're going to need. Meta just said that that's plenty of time to get ready. We'll get into that next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN. The little playoff at the back end of these conferences could be fantastic. LZ, you brought it up a couple of times about the opportunity available to maybe get a team like the Pelicans in with Zion Williamson and where they sit right now.
Yeah, Pelicans.
They're on the outside looking in, but if they can get within 4 games and they're only 3.5 games in right now, 8-game air quotes regular season before you jump into the playoffs, if all of a sudden there's a playoff series between a Ja Morant team and a Zion Williamson team, I'm here for that. I mean, that would be phenomenal because a first-round series in that 8th seed against the Lakers with Zion? Forget about it.
That would be fun.
I mean, it's going to be hype. It's going to be so much hype. I mean, in some ways, you know, Zion and Ja Morant, get to have a little opportunity to really declare who's Rookie of the Year. Mm-hmm. And as someone who has watched Ja Morant and thought that he earned it and the whole night and know what kind of big-time player he is, I would love to see him make his case against Zion as they fight for that eighth spot. I would love to see it. I don't think either one of their teams will beat the Lakers per se, but I certainly feel as if the hype around Zion, the hype around the Lakers, young Laker players returning to face off against the team that jettisoned them for Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis facing his old team. The narratives basically write themselves. And then, of course, the cream of the crop is that LBJ is going for ring number 4 with perhaps the best team, and I'm including Chris Bosh and Wade, perhaps mm-hmm. his best team that he's ever brought to the finals because of Anthony Davis. Oh, yeah, man, this is going to be hype.
So stop right there for a second before we go to that. Let's stay on the back end of this because we talked about New Orleans, we've talked about Memphis. There's another team that's sitting right there as well, and that's Portland and Dame Lillard. We saw what he did to Oklahoma City last year, and we saw them advance to the Western Conference Finals. And I understand that their situation has been weird. They've had a bunch of injuries along the way, including to Dame himself, but that is one of those guys. Is LeBron better than Lillard? Yes. Are the Lakers better than the Portland Trailblazers? Yes. But when that dude walks into the gym, he's legit scary because he could have a night where he just takes over.
Yeah, and he can have a night when he takes over. Plus, he'll gut you on the rap game if you mess with him. I think that the key to all of this, though, is where are they going to be in terms of cardiovascular endurance when they step back on the court? You know, Zion Williamson, you guys are always talking about his weight. Is he bigger than a couch right now? Do we know? Have we seen? I mean, what does he look like? You know, all of those sort of things. Is the players that were injured, are they completely healed? Are they back in running up and down the court shape mode? Like, all of those sort of things are going to be very important to, you know, their cardio when they step on the floor. Because running up and down that NBA basketball court is a lot different than running up and down at the YMCA. I mean, it's a totally
huge.
Different pace. It's huge. All of those sort of things. And what will be the amount of time that they need? Me personally, as a professional athlete, I think if you get a few weeks in, you'll be fine because they're not going to be completely, totally out of shape. A few weeks, they'll be fine, and I think they'll have enough time if the start date is July 31st to get back in shape to really get going.
Is it just the cardio? Because I wonder, too, if there isn't, for lack of a better way of describing it, just a rust factor that you can get shots up. You can go out and run your sets and practice, and you can work against your team 5-on-5. But like you said, Key, there's a totally different dynamic and intensity and speed that comes with real games. That an NFL preseason game is very different than an NFL regular season game. And an NFL playoff game is different than that.
But if I can shoot, I can shoot. I mean, it ain't going to, you know, certain things you're not going to lose because that's just who I am. If I'm a guy who on a pick and pop and I can get to the cup and lay it up and that's what I do, I'm going to consistently do that. If I'm a board guy and I'm crashing the boards, I'm Dwight Howard and I got big shoulders, my shoulders ain't all of a sudden going to get small. And I'm going to be able to still continue to bunny hop over everybody and still get up and grab those rebounds. If I'm LeBron James and I'm coming through like a locomotive, I'm going to still be able to go straight through with a penetration that people are going to still move out my way.
I'm not worried about LeBron. I'm not worried about Damian Lillard. And I'm not worried about all the other guys, you know, Kawhi Leonard. It's the rank and file guys that make these teams go too. That the stars will be the stars. But who was it? Was it Windhorse we were talking to a couple of weeks ago where LeBron kind of ramps up for the playoffs. And the Lakers were in that ramp up phase where they were playing some of their – we talked about it the other day. They beat Milwaukee. They beat the Clippers. And we're like, oh, hell yeah, here we go. This is going to be that playoff push. This is going to be that run to that championship. LeBron's going to get this. And then you hit the brakes for – I mean, we're going on 3 months right now. Rhythm and momentum and those things, they matter. They're kind of intangible and they're hard to quantify. But when you're rolling and the Lakers were, and then you stop, there's no guarantee that you just pick up where you left off.
Well, there isn't any guarantee, but at the same time, you know, you're going to have some bumps and some bruises and some rust. No matter how great you are, it's very seldom you see people just click and hit on all cylinders. Every now and then you get a couple of great ones that can do that. But this is the time that those first couple workouts that you would have on the 5-on-5 scrimmages and things of that nature is what gets all that out of you. And all that rust falls off. It just chips right away. And then you get into that rhythm as you start to get going and the playoffs become real games. Now you start to see, okay, both teams are a little rusty. We got into the third quarter. It's a little bit better. Fourth quarter, okay, they're hitting on all cylinders. This is what it's supposed to look like.
I wonder if we're going to get a weird team.
Real time. Well, I don't believe we're going to get a weird team. I mean, we talked about this before, you know, things stopped on March 11th, that, you know, in the Eastern Conference, we could see, like, four teams with a legitimate shot to win a championship. In the Western Conference, we saw the front runners, the front two, but then we acknowledged the fact that, you know, Utah is a talented team, that Denver's a talented team.
Houston.
Houston is an unproven but talented team. And I only say unproven is because Westbrook's just got there, and then they haven't even had a full season together. That's the only reason why I say unproven. But as individual players, these are two MVPs that have played in the NBA Finals. So when you look at the opportunities that other teams outside of Los Angeles have, I don't think it would be weird if you looked up in the Boston Celtics, which I don't want to see, but they're a very talented team, ended up winning the championship because that was a very good squad. Obviously, Milwaukee Bucks. We've talked about the 76ers and the talent that they have on that squad. I don't think we're going to end up with the Pelicans as NBA champions, but I wouldn't be surprised if we looked up and saw something, someone other than the front runners win a championship.
That's what I meant by a weird team, LZ.
There's a lot of parity.
Yeah, I don't mean that, to use your example, that the Pelicans are going to be having a parade and hosting the trophy. I don't think that's – I still think that your champ is going to come from that group of teams that we're talking about. We're talking about Milwaukee, the two LA teams, Boston, and maybe could throw one or more in there. But I do think you might see a team like Philly or Houston or somebody that's a little bit further down in the standings just because – you just don't know what it's going to feel and look like when you hit the restart. But I'm not worried about guys being out of shape. I'm worried about them not playing well. And I think those are two separate things. And if all of a sudden, again, you have a totally different environment, you're in a centralized location, there's no fans, there's going to be some oddities involved in this, and everybody has to deal with it the same way. But I think that when you change the formatics of it, you change the environment of it.
Formatics.
You're going to get a different result early on. As you get deeper into it, I think it'll be more traditional. But I would not be surprised if we saw some upsets early that you just say, I had no idea that was going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, you're right about that, especially if you've been moving and grooving, and then all of a sudden you stop, and then you got to start up again and got to find that mojo again. But I just feel that the combination of LeBron James and Anthony Davis, that high screening role play they like to go with, and then, of course, when one sits down, their ability to carry the team, I think that's going to be a lot easier for them to get going because they're not depending upon hot shooting. They're just the better players. And sometimes, you know, hot shooting can get you a game. It might even get you two games. But when a seven-game series comes rolling around, typically speaking, the better team with the better players win.
The NBA is back. We'll continue our conversation of who we think might be able to punch through the bottom half of that draw. That's coming up next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday. Social Security, is that a thing? Hey, Mom, what is my Social Security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
And it sounds like we're going to have Lakers basketball as soon as July 31st. That, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, he tweeted a few minutes ago, the NBA is inviting 22 teams to Orlando, 13 Western Conference, 9 Eastern Conference, 8 regular season games per team, playing for the 8th seeds July 31st through October 12th. The vote is to ratify is tomorrow. The NBA is back. And guys, they're going to have five teams competing for that last spot in the Western Conference. Memphis has it right now. Who would you like to see the least come out of that? Because you're thinking, uh-oh, now you got to fight. Because assuming the Lakers hold on to that top seed at the number one, they're going to play that eighth team. Is it Portland? Is it Dame Lillard? Or is it somebody else?
I really don't. It doesn't really matter.
Oh, it's definitely Portland. Oh, it matters.
No, I don't think so. Because I don't think in a seven-game series that
Dame Lillard scares me, man.
Yeah, but not in a deep series. I don't think that that's going to affect the Lakers like that.
They got to the Western Conference Finals last year. I mean, they're good.
But not against the Lakers and not against Anthony Davis, LeBron James, and a cast of characters.
Well, listen,
I understand he cooked us a couple times in the regular season. He lit us up. But in a seven-game deal, you know, it's going to be difficult. It's different. One-offs is different than, obviously, series. So I don't think it's going to matter.
I've witnessed Dame Lillard, and we all have, end franchises.
Yes.
Not just win series, but the franchise had been blown up after he got done with it in the playoffs. I would much rather face teams being led by rookies, whether it be Memphis with Ja Morant or the Pelicans with Zion Williamson, than a man with a proven record to blow up franchises. So, Key, I think you're absolutely wrong on this. If you had your choice, you would much rather face a squad that's not being led by a guy with a track record like that, but much rather a squad that's being led by a guy who has no idea what he's doing.
Well, look, at the end of the day, there's no question you always want to take the easier path. But I don't think, based on the way this Laker team is built and what they've shown me throughout the regular season, that it's one of those, oh, my God, Dame Lillard's coming to town. I don't think you obviously respect your opponent, but you don't fear him. And I've never been a dude that feared my opponent. So I'm speaking really from basically being in that position where, you know, I've played against high-powered dudes before, and it's like, well, okay, we know what we're coming up against. And I'm sure LeBron James and AD and Rondo and the rest of the guys know what they're going to go up against if they play against a Portland team versus a New Orleans team. I know you like New Orleans. You like the excitement, AD, New Orleans, and going to balls, coming back to the Lakers. Well, he won't be coming back to L.A., but playing against them in Orlando, all of those sort of things. Yeah, sexy. But at the end of the day, I think both of them get bounced by the Lakers. One might be a little harder than the next, but – it is what it is.
There's a difference. I think that here's the difference for me. I cannot envision a scenario where Zion Williamson cracks that puzzle and beats the Lakers. I can't come up with it. But barring a catastrophic injury to somebody else, I just don't see that happening. While I agree with you, Key, I think the Lakers beat Portland, and I don't think it's even a seven-game series. I think they probably take them out sooner than that. There is a scenario where they lose, and that is because of Damian Lillard. It's an unlikely scenario, but it exists, and it exists for one reason, and it's Dame. It's number zero. It's that guy is the answer to the question, what could happen? Well, what could happen is he could go for 45 four times in seven games and just absolutely steal the damn thing. I don't think that New Orleans can do that. I don't think that Memphis can do that, or Sacramento or San Antonio or any of those other teams, but that dude, while it's a slim chance, it's a chance.
Because remember the fact, the only reason why he's even in this position is not because his team wasn't good, but just like with New Orleans and just like with the Brooklyn Nets, it's because he was hurt. He missed weeks for an injury. Otherwise, they may not even need to try to sneak into the playoffs. They might firmly be in the playoffs, if not challenge for home court advantage, especially if you consider what they accomplished last year. So, again, if given my choice, I would much rather not deal with that dude. You know, and I hear what you're saying, Key, in terms of getting ready to face a top quarterback or, you know, a tough running back or something of that nature. But we all know basketball and football are way different. You can have one guy turn the tide in basketball and uproot everything, whereas you can have a quarterback throw over 500 yards and then he sits down. But if the defense ain't right, you're still going to lose. That's not a scenario in basketball. Basketball, if Dame Lillard's going off for 45 points a night and we can't figure out how to slow him down, that could be a real problem.
Yeah, but you can counter them 45 with the other dudes that you got. You can counter that 45 with LeBron. You can counter that 42, 41, 38, 36 with AD. Like, you can counter that.
You know who's most excited about this out of everybody? Vic Fangio. that we've got basketball coming back, that we have a date, that we have a plan, that we have a format. Vic Fangio is probably in his office going, thank goodness that they're going to be talking
about
basketball format.
I see breaking news. There's breaking news here. There's breaking news here.
Dun, dun, dun.
Vic just says he didn't see any racism in NBA either. Okay, there you go. There you go.
Uh-huh. I mean, honestly, I'm obviously making a joke, but that comment was going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. And it still will, but the intensity of it may wane a little bit because the sports media's attention will be divided between that and what happened with the announcement of the NBA.
I don't even think it's going to be divided. I think it's going to be firmly into the announcement of what Major League Soccer has said, what NBA is doing, and the question becomes, what does this mean for college sports? We didn't touch on the subject, but remember, SC had a big announcement as well about students returning to campus, and we know what that could mean to college sports, fall sports, and football. So I don't think that their attention is going to be on his comments at all now because the ball is rolling to get the sports world back. And he should be very, very grateful for that.
Yeah.
The players will remember one thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, people will remember. People in Colorado and people within the league it ain't going away. People within the league and people in Colorado certainly is seeing those headlines. Yeah, the NBA is back, but remember, the NBA is going to give you what they're going to give you today. They're going to give you what they're going to give you tomorrow. But there's room for Vic Fangio. There's room for him. And he's going to get his name in big, bright lights on somebody's television shows for the next several days. And once he initiates an apology, that's going to go up, and people are going to talk about that as well. You know social media, and you know all these platforms that we got. It's too many of them, especially in what we're dealing with today.
The apology that is almost inevitable, right? I mean, he's going to have to address this at some point. How does he not make it worse? You said there's nothing he can say that would make you feel better about his comments, but how does he avoid making it worse? Because we've seen apologies that come out, and then we go, oh, my God, it was bad enough to begin with. You just made it 10 times worse. How does he skip that part of it?
I don't think he's not going to – let's hope that he doesn't put his foot in his mouth, because I'm sure the statement will come from somebody within an organization, a crisis management, PR, something like that with the Denver Broncos. They'll clean it up the way it needs to be cleaned up. The problem is, what Von Miller going to say to him, right? Mm-hmm. What is Cliff Harris going to say about him when they asked him now that he's with the Chargers? What you know what I'm saying? That, mm-hmm. That's going to be interesting. When you start going to ex-players and say, man, what's up with this dude? And the ex-players, like, man, he was always like that. That's where you're going to start to see, you know, when you got dudes like Von Miller that ain't going to stand for it. It's like, I know Von enough to know Von ain't going to – I'd be shocked if Von Miller just sat back and said nothing.
LZ, is there a way to – navigate your way out of this to mitigate some of the stupid things that you said, or would he be better off just saying nothing and let it just sit there and hope that our attention goes elsewhere?
You know, when people get in trouble, when they make apologies, they don't mean. So if he is really sincere, and what I mean by that is he sits down with someone and they point out where he's blind or where he's wrong, and he agrees, and he sits there and he gets in front of a microphone and speaks from the heart and is sincere, you can fix it. But if you release a statement that looks as if it's been written by someone else, or if you read a prepared remarks, or you don't address it at all, then you're effed.
Yeah, you got to make sure you
because
get a
now
couple.
You
go ahead.
Because then. All you're doing, to your point, Travis, is making a bad situation worse. But if he's actually apologizing and not doing something like, if you were offended.
For those of you offended, right. More,
yeah, that only makes it worse. But if he gets in front of a microphone and says, you know what, I made some remarks, and that's where I honestly believe. But after talking to some people and really taking a look at from their perspective, I realized that I spoke out of pocket. I was wrong. I'm going to promise you I will continue to try and educate myself on this. I need to do a better job of hiring minorities within my own franchise that I'm in charge of. I was blinded to that. If he comes real with an apology, then he'll be good. Yeah, but I rarely see people come real with the apology.
Mm, a couple of brother football players behind him as he's doing it, too.
Crosstalk with George Sedano is coming up next on the morning show on 710 ESPN.
Great news.
We could absolutely use some great news. A Woj bomb earlier this morning. The NBA is sending 22 teams to Orlando, 13 from the West, 9 from the East. There's a potential for a play-in for that 8th playoff spot after 8 regular season games. George, what do you think of the format? What do you think of the news?
Look, I think it's good news that we have basketball back. Let's start there. I think the format, I want to talk to Ramona about it. She's going to join me for the show today for the entire 2 hours, and she's going to kind of break down some of the intricacies of it, because at least on the surface, I'm a little confused as to how some of this will work. I saw that as far as the play-in is concerned, there's if you're more than 4 games, you're not going to be allowed in the play-in. If you are less than 4 games, you are. My question is, what if you're 4 games after the regular season stuff is over? Like, what happens then? You know, like, so I have questions and she's got answers. But overall, I think it makes sense. I think if you get Zion in and you get Damian Lillard into the postseason tournament in some way, shape, or form, even in a play-in version, I think that's a win, because this is a league predicated on stars.
What do you think it's going to look like? Just the play itself for all of the 22 teams that comes back. I mean, we've got about a 2-month on ramp to get ready to go for the games. Will it look like the basketball that we saw when the season was suspended back in March?
Well, I don't know if we'll be there, Travis. I mean, they're going to have a couple of weeks to ramp up and have a truncated version of training camp, I think. And then, you know, they'll have the 8 regular season games to kind of get themselves rolling. So I don't think they'll be at the peak, you know, as they would have been in March, but they will be better off than, I guess, most years when you, or actually, you know what? They're probably similar to what it would be when you start the regular season. There could be some sloppy play, because you usually play like 6 to 8 preseason games too. But these will actually count in the standings for whatever it's worth.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it though. Whoever they get, it's just going to be good to see. It'll be interesting to debate. It'll be interesting to have conversations over. Let's see who gets popped. I mean, there's a sneaky team here or there that goes up and gets one of the big dogs. I mean, all of those sort of things. And just to get sports back going and knowing here's a date. We were screaming and hollering, yeah, they're doing it, but we are not getting any hard dates on anything, right? We're making progress. But now, to a degree, until it's actually officially announced, we have a date of restarting, which is July 31st.
Right.
So you have something to look forward to.
My biggest challenge, I think, is, and I get it, right? Like, not everything is going to time out perfectly, and things are going to be strange in general. But I didn't love going all the way through, you know, potentially October 12th at the end, you know, because now you're running into the middle of football season. Again, you know what I'm saying? Like, that was kind of the challenge. I know moving forward, it looks like Christmas will be the start of the season, so you won't have to deal with it. But I guess for one more season, you'll still have to deal with the potential of running up against the NFL and college football, for that matter.
George, do you think that there's assuming that the teams, or let's say we have all of those teams in the Western Conference at the back end in that play-in tournament, is there a bad draw if the Lakers are still at the top? Is it Portland? Is it Damian Lillard? Or does it not matter who gets in that 8 side? The Lakers handle them easily.
I mean, no, I don't think there's anyone that I feel like threatens them to win an actual series. Look, Portland is clearly that team that you look at because of Damian Lillard, because they're healthy, too. Let's not forget, they didn't have Yusuf Nurkic the whole season because he broke his leg in that awful situation last season. Zach Collins, who is kind of their stretch 5, kind of backup big, is also a big part of what they do with their rotation, will be available. So they've got a frontline rotation again, potentially. CJ's been hurt this season. They have Whiteside, too, who I'm not a huge fan of, but if he's in a big man rotation, he should be fine. And look, we saw what Damian Lillard is capable of on the night that the Lakers came back. Like, you know, we were sitting here all morning, Kobe Bryant, and he said, yeah, my tribute to Kobe Bryant is I'm going to drop 50 and win. You know what I'm saying? Like, so he's one of these guys that you got to be careful. Like, he can steal a game or two easily. There's no question. Like, it's not an easy series, but I still think the Lakers would win.
We were spending.
Look at what's happening with the Clippers as well. You know, when we last saw them, they were losing to the Lakers. There was a little bit of fray in terms of leadership that you could see on the court and unsourced quotes. What do you think this time off has done for them, and what do you expect from them now that we've got a date to start back up?
I actually think it's good for them from a health standpoint, because clearly PG was a little dinged up still from the hamstring stuff. That stuff will have gone. Like, that's no longer an issue. And, you know, my guess is, you know, at least Doc has said recently that he believes that the kind of restarting a training camp can have them start fresh. You know, obviously the injury situation, these guys are going to be in better shape. Kawhi could be in better shape, he believes. And I think that it will give them an opportunity to kind of a little bit of a do-over, LZ, to maybe kind of soften some of that and smooth some of that over.
We're going to get a weird one, George. Are we going to see a team that's in, let's say, the bottom half of the draw, 5 through 8, that gets to a conference final or an NBA final? Are we going to see somebody sneak in there?
I mean, I think in the East you could potentially see that. Like, if Philly gets hot, man, like, they're still one of these teams that, look, before the season and the preseason, I had them in the finals. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that they're that talented. But it's, you know, the thing's a mess. You know, Brett Brown hasn't necessarily always been on the same page with his best players. But they've got the talent. That if there's one team I'm looking at in that group, Travis, Philly could be that one team. Or you know what? They could just implode in the first round, too.
All right.
Basketball
we'll let you go do your show.
Yeah, we'll do Vic Fangio some more tomorrow. The NBA is back. It's great news. The Sedano Show is next. We'll see you right here at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning on the morning
Georgie
show.
Georgie Pargy, pudding pie.